College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Cincinnati head coach John Brennan. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, I will now unveil, as I did last week on social media, my preseason top 25 for the 19-20 season. This will obviously be shifted and be able to be adapted as we continue to see personnel changes over the next couple of months leading into the season. But after last week's early entry withdrawal deadline to the 2019 NBA draft, we now have some clarity moving forward into the next season. Cassius Winston and Michigan State are at 1. Love Louisville at 2 with Jordan Wara coming back to school. Duke, Kentucky, Kansas 3, 4, 5. Maryland at 6. North Carolina at 7. Virginia 8. Still think Tony Bennett has great potential defensively with Kihei Clark on the ball. And then Braxton Key, Mamadi Diakite, and Jay Huff at 3, 4, 5. Villanova and Gonzaga are 9 and 10. Texas Tech 11. Seton Hall at 12. Baylor at 13. People in Waco believe this could be Scott Drew's best team ever. Keep an eye on the Bears in 1920. LSU 14, Memphis 15, Florida State at 16, Arizona, Florida 17-18, Washington 19, Purdue 20, VCU 21, Georgetown 22, I've got Harvard at 23, Mississippi State at 24 with the return of Reggie Perry, and then Utah State, the heavy favorite in the Mountain West at 25. Obviously, a lot of room for debate right here. I look, though, right now, when I rank these teams, and I see, obviously, a team at the top in Michigan State that, to me, is clearly the team to beat in college basketball because you have Cassius Winston coming back in a Mateen Cleaves type of swan song, potentially, in East Lansing. And then I see a lot of parity throughout the sport. One of the things that's really interesting right now, and we saw this last week with the NBA draft early entry withdrawal deadline, is that more and more kids, and I talked about this last week on the podcast, like RJ Hampton, do not want to be in college. And more kids would rather start their professional clock and be in a situation where they're playing professionally in the G League or playing overseas and getting a paycheck. Saw Tony Carr do it a couple years ago, the talented guard from Penn State. Saw other people do it this year, Lindell Wigginton choosing not to go back to Iowa State, but rather being in a situation where he could go play professionally. I think a lot of people had some concern about how this would affect college basketball moving forward. My theory is this. You may water down the talent base of college basketball by seeing more and more people leave, but you're not going to water down the fans of the sport. Now, did Duke and Zion Williamson last year make the Blue Devils appointment television? Absolutely. More of a must-watch than Seinfeld in its prime. But people are still going to watch Duke. People are still going to watch Kansas, even if they don't have Andrew Wiggins. So I think while we might see a talent drain in terms of the overall roster of college basketball, you're not going to see the sport diminish interest-wise amongst its hardcore fans. There's a new chapter at Cincinnati. They were not in my preseason top 25, but they do have a returning All-American in Jaron Cumberland. John Brennan is the man that's going to follow the man. He's following Mick Cronin at Cincinnati. What's in store for the Bearcats moving forward? John Brannan, the aforementioned head coach of Cincinnati, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. We have a new head coach, obviously, at Cincinnati. He is John Brannan. He had a great run at Northern Kentucky, and he now makes his inaugural appearance on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Coach, how much of a blur have the last 2 months been?
Well, John, you've been around the profession a long time. You understand what goes into it. The first 60 days is like having your first child. You don't really remember everything you're doing. You're hitting the ground running hard. You just hope you're getting things done. And we have. You know, we focused on three things, John. We focused on player relationships, getting into our current roster, hiring a staff, and then recruitment. And really those three things have been the center of what we've done for the first 60 days.
You know, the responsibility of a mid-major coach versus the responsibility of a high-major coach for some people are like night and day. How much more filled are your days since you've been the head coach at Cincinnati versus the head coach at Northern Kentucky?
Well, I think like anything else, the days are fuller just because you're taking over a new program. So it didn't change in terms of how full your day is or how much commitment level you have to certain things. It's just, you know, at Northern Kentucky, we had it rolling. So, you know, your springs were a little bit more laid back and your signing classes were already done. Now with this, I wouldn't necessarily liken it to mid-major to high-major being any different. It's just the bottom line is everything's new. So you got to hit the ground running. There's a lot of relationships you got to touch. There's a lot of people you hopefully understand that you may not be able to touch them yet, but you will in the near future.
You know, in sports, Coach, you know this as well as anybody. You never want to be the guy that follows the guy, but you are going to be the guy who follows Mick Cronin at Cincinnati, 9 straight NCAA tournaments for the Bearcats. Why are you embracing that as a positive versus a negative?
Well, I think, you know, I appreciate you bringing it up, John. What Mick did here was just phenomenal. You know, I texted him during the course of the year. I think what he's done from a results standpoint at the University of Cincinnati has been, the success here has been extraordinary. And when you follow someone like that, obviously there's created expectations because of the great success that Coach Cronin has had. And with that comes, you know, for us, it's going to be a very different style of play and some different things. But the University of Cincinnati, in terms of their brand nationally, is not only a winning program, but a program that's had success for a number of years and decades. That's what I want to embrace. And I'm excited about taking that brand and hopefully continuing this success.
Well, embracing, obviously, that brand means embracing all that comes with your roster. And for Cincinnati, that's obviously embracing Jaron Cumberland, who made the decision last week to continue his college career and not, obviously, play professionally. When you got the news that Jaron was coming back for next season, how did the landscape for next year, your first year as Bearcats head coach, take a drastic turn?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you get the player of the year back and you get some continuity in terms of your roster. You know, we've got Keith Williams and Trey Scott, Jaron Cumberland, three of the, you know, leading scorers from last year's team. So that's good. It's a good start. And then you got to build a roster around that. You know, obviously with the new portal situation, I think you've talked to a lot of guys who just took over jobs, especially at the high major level. It's made a new challenge in terms of having to keep a roster together and sustaining a roster. So now we've got all the pieces we need. We've got our roster set. Now the summer becomes that exponentially more important. The 8 weeks in the summer, you know, I wish we had a summer trip. We don't. They took one last year. So we're going to have to really maximize these next 8 weeks to make sure everybody is on the same page because it is a different way of doing things, a different style. So it's new for everybody.
Cincinnati head coach John Brannan joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bearcats will return Jaron Cumberland, Keith Williams, and also Trey Scott from this past year's team that won the American Conference Tournament, won 28 games. Now, Jaron Cumberland in spurts last year initiated the offense for Cincinnati, even though he wasn't the primary point guard. Everybody, Coach, as you know, is trying to make sure they're in a situation where they can kind of emulate what they may do on the next level. Could we see Jaron Cumberland in more of a facilitating role under John Brannan next year as he returns for his senior season?
We're going to maximize Jaron's abilities, and part of those not only his scoring ability, but his ability to make other people better. I think the greatest compliment you can give a player, John, is their ability to make the game easier for others. And I think Jaron has that ability to make the game easier for his teammates. So that facilitation role, whether it be in ball screens in different areas of the court, whether it be a facilitation at the top of the key, that will matriculate as the season goes on, as our system gets put into place. But, you know, a talent like Jaren, who's unselfish the way he is, you know, he's going to make everybody else better.
You know, one thing, you know, that's always, you know, really fluid this time of year, and you alluded to it with the transfer portal, is, you know, personnel. And, you know, we obviously had a starting five-man transfer in Nasir Brooks, who went to Miami. You have two other players in the portal, in Logan Johnson and Eliel Sosemi. Are you planning for next season moving forward that those two players will not be back?
We've actually pretty much signed everybody. So, you know, we've signed our roster, so we're in shape right now, where we'll be releasing those here soon in terms of the roster makeup for this season.
Now, the style of play you've alluded to, you know, could be different. You were known, obviously, in Northern Kentucky by, you know, being a great offensive coach who, you know, used the style to maximize the skill of all five positions on the floor. For the Cincinnati fan out there right now, for fans of college basketball who want to know what Cincinnati basketball is going to look like under John Brannan, what type of picture do you want to paint on your canvas?
John, what we'll be is we'll be a team that's, you know, first and foremost defensively. I mean, we are Northern Kentucky teams. We were top 25 in defense a year ago as well. And, you know, we're going to press full court. We're going to force you to make a play instead of run a play. It'll be based around a man-to-man defense. And then offensively, we're going to play with pace. That doesn't mean we jack up shots. We're going to play with pace into our offense and take the first available good shot. So pace will be the word of the day in terms of our ability to get up and down the court, both offensively and defensively. But toughness will reign. I mean, the toughness that Cincinnati basketball has been known for, that's not going to go anywhere. We'll still be elite on the rebounding. My Northern Kentucky teams were top 50 in defensive rebounding every year I was there. So we're going to continue that trend of being an elite rebounding team. I think two things, John, move the needle statistically, and that's defensive rebounding and assist-to-turnover ratio. And those will be the things that we'll work to be elite at each and every day.
And, you know, there's obviously other pieces, too, in addition to the guys you mentioned that you inherited from Mick Cronin. Who else has, you know, stood out to you so far as you've evaluated and worked with your roster?
Well, that's a great question. We get to work this week, and you know how the rules are. So that's the challenge, because I haven't worked with this team yet. You know, the additions that we made in the Chris McNeil point guard, you know, Javen Cumberland, shooter from who's got an ability to space the floor. You know, Mamadou Diarra has got a chance to really take the next step, I believe, in terms of how we're going to do things. So those guys, and then the newcomers will be the newcomers. You know, their ability to hit the ground running and learn our system are going to be really important.
You know, you just made the reference to Javen Cumberland, who's obviously, you know, Jaren's cousin. He will be a part of your team next year as a grad transfer?
He will. Yeah, he signed in the last 24 hours.
Okay. Well, congratulations on another addition. And, you know, we've obviously, you know, been talking about Cincinnati here, you know, recently and their overall success. But, you know, Coach, you're a basketball junkie, and obviously you're not in this business if you're not. What has it been like to, you know, see the evolution of the American Conference? You know, obviously a great run last season, and obviously more to come with a great recruiting class in Memphis and so many good returning players, obviously, at Houston, South Florida, and Wichita State.
Well, I think it starts with the programs itself and the coaches. I mean, some unbelievable coaches in this league who know how to build programs. I mean, Greg Marshall at Wichita is unbelievable. I mean, obviously, Kelvin's done a great job. Danny's going to do an outstanding job at UConn. And, you know, Penny, the recruiting class that he's put together has been a national exposure. It's good. That's what you want. You want to be in a league that's competitive each and every night to put ourselves in a position to get five, six teams in the NCAA tournament. Because if we're doing that on a consistent basis, John, then not only are we putting our position to be on a national scale, but we're also giving ourselves an opportunity to have success in the tournament. Because success in the NCAA tournament is a part of what you do during the course of those 35 games leading into it. And the night in and night out of the teams you mentioned and the coaches that I mentioned prepare you for that. So I'm glad we're on the uptick. It's a perfect time to be in the league, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, and the challenge also means that you're going to have to be coaching against Xavier once a year. You know, John, you're obviously somebody who processes every step along the way. Whether you were driving to work or whether you were taking a walk around campus, have you thought about, you know, that in 1920 and every year, you know, moving forward, as long as you're at Cincinnati, you're going to be in a scenario where you're coaching in the Crosstown Shootout?
You know, I've been a fan of the Crosstown Shootout for years growing up in this area. I look forward to being a part of it. I have thought about it, John. I certainly got it mentioned to me more than I thought about it. So I know how important it is to the University of Cincinnati as well as Xavier, and I'm looking forward to being part of such a historic game.
regardless of results, regardless of obviously where you finish, because everybody wants to win their last game, what are your year one goals as you look forward to, you know, shepherd this program continuing moving forward?
Well, I think like anything else, you want to be long-term greedy in terms of building the potential to be a team that continues to advance in the tournament and have success in the postseason. In order to do that, you got to implement your system. So, you know, our job this year is to make sure that we maximize what we have by implementing our system and putting us in a situation where they have a complete understanding of what we do. And that will matriculate as the years go forward in terms of that. That system implementation is important. And every coach talks about culture. You know, they had great culture here under Coach Cronin. The culture would be a little bit different. So I've got to be able to implement that the way we need to. So the sustainability of the style of play and how we want to play in year one, that's a big first step.
Well, John, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. You know, it's got to be easier to transition when you're just moving across the river, though, right?
You know, John, it's the question I get asked the most. And it is easier. The challenge is the wife still wants me to pick up the kids from volleyball and take them to school in the morning, when right now I'm trying to dive in and do 24 hours here. So that's my challenge. But no, it's when I leave campus, I know exactly where I'm going. I know how to get home. I know how to get back. So the small victories of being able to know where you're at, it certainly makes it a little bit easier.
Did you guys take the same house, or are you guys going to get a new house?
We were moving regardless. So she's currently looking at houses now. But the good part about it is there's no rush, right? We're not in a hotel for 60 days. We can stay in this house as long as we need to.
Well, John, again, you know, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Happy we're able to catch up. You know, congratulations on rounding out the roster. And, you know, best of luck moving forward with summer workouts.
John, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We'd like to thank Cincinnati head coach John Brennan for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We have the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Terry Capper, and it's John. With Illinois returning 8 of the top 9 scorers from last season, will they be your pick for the biggest surprise team in the Big Ten? Look, I'm going to break down every conference from soup to nuts throughout the summer here on the College Hoops Today podcast. And there's a lot of buzz about Illinois. They finished strong in the second half of the Big Ten slate. They beat Maryland at Madison Square Garden. They beat Michigan State and Champaign. Love their perimeter, but facts are facts. Illinois has only been in a situation where last season they won 12 games. And now they have to deal with expectations. How do they handle that? How do they be in a situation where they deal with being the hunted versus a team that people thought was off the radar and wound up picking off a couple of teams late? Our next question comes from LoboDude3, and it's John. If the Mountain West is going to be a multi-bid league this year, who are your picks? Well, obviously, you got to look at Utah State as being the favorite. I would say probably San Diego State and New Mexico off the top of my head. The team, though, that's interesting is Nevada if Jordan Brown comes back. He's obviously been all over the transfer wire. Visited in the last couple of weeks Arizona, St. Mary's, and also Arizona State. Our final question is going to come from John Hogan, and it's John. Is it still possible to win the national championship with a dominant front court like Kansas will have this year? Well, to me, when I submit my preseason All-American votes to the AP, Udoka Azubuike from Kansas is going to be on the roster of the five guys who are going to the Associated Press. The most dominant back-to-back scorer in college basketball. Now, could Isaiah Stewart from Washington, you know, eventually earn that title? Absolutely. But you look at this Kansas team, it's a power team right now up front. You don't see a lot of skill guys like a Marcus Morris or a Perry Ellis. It's D'Souza, it's Azubuike, it's McCormick, and it's Lightfoot, and it's Powerball. It's going to be really interesting to see how Bill Self opts to play with this team. Will he be in a situation where he goes smaller and uses Oche Agbaji at the four? It's going to be real interesting to see how that develops, because this Kansas team right now does not have a traditional skill guy at the four who's a traditional power forward. And Five Good Nuggets is sponsored by our friends at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the big fish. Virginia Tech's Kerry Blackshear is withdrawing from the 2019 NBA draft and still exploring all of his potential options as a grad transfer. This is the type of player that could change the landscape of my top 25 and top 25 all over the college basketball circuit. Blackshear told me via text message late last week he hadn't had any updates. There's still no updates as of Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern. We will monitor this situation moving forward. Nugget number two, over the hump. Several Big Ten coaches feel that Penn State is a bona fide NCAA tournament team in 2020 with Lamar Stevens back. Could it be the breakthrough season that Pat Chambers needs in state college? Nugget number three, nothing but congestion. I was studying the Big Ten all last week. Trying to forecast the conference after Michigan State, Maryland, Purdue, and Ohio State is like trying to align a Rubik's Cube. Going to be a lot of 60-60 games with 4 minutes to play. Nugget number four, the unsung presence. An under-the-radar transfer nationally is Seton Hall's Ike Obiagu. 2 years ago at Florida State, had 71 block shots as a freshman. Last year, nobody on the Pirates roster blocked more than 41. And nugget number five, more than just Robin, talking about R.J. Barrett as we look ahead a little bit to the NBA draft. R.J. Barrett last year in the six games that Zion Williamson missed due to injury averaged over 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists a game. Is he pound for pound, inch for inch, the least talked about first-team All-American in college basketball history? It's quite possible. We'd like to thank Cincinnati head coach John Brannan for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.